You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online every single place on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that website, and you hit the listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices live. And then also our archive shows are also there. You can pick by date. And then of course we share it on all of our social media and our website, which is cedamediainc.com. And of course on Facebook and Instagram. And I think Sita even has a pretty popular TikTok channel now. That's all under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
I tell you, I don't even know what I have anymore. You know,
out there, girl. Out there.
You know, the truth is, we found a life with purpose, and when you find a life with purpose, sadly, it's a very busy life.
Not sadly.
And you don't have time for your friends and family, and then you sit down and you weed out certain things in your life that is no more as compelling as it was before, because you got to prioritize. And I think those of us who have grand dogs and grandchildren and grand cats, they're a priority right now, you know? Right. When the kids call and say they need you to watch the kids, you can't talk out of two sides of your mouth and say that the foundation for family starts in the home. And when your kids ask you to be part of that foundation, you say, I have something else to do. Right. It's called making an excuse, right? Exactly. So as long as those kids are born and they're here on this planet, it is our responsibility. We are the village. Especially grandparents and elders and mentors.
It's great for me that I picked up this music career, because now it's like a family reunion every single month. We have people that come out to the parks and to the different restaurants and so forth in Brevard County, and we have like a family reunion every single weekend. And it's just one other way around it.
That's right. Well, people need...
You invite people
it's a
where
tribe.
You are.
You have a tribe.
That's right.
So... On Mondays, Ellen O'Neill, myself, and Ali Tambor, we sit here, and we have this wonderful show called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we speak to people right here in our community, people around the world, people around the nation, but whatever they want to talk about, write a book, read a book, making excuses not to do something,
that's right.
Finding a purpose in life, mentorship, opening a nonprofit. Going back to school for higher education, listening to your parents, not listening to your parents, holding it together. Some people are anxious, some are homeless, whatever it is. We speak on our show here and give out valuable information in a very fun, entertaining way, but at the same time, very valuable information. And of course, we have people that are running for office, people want to know who to vote for, and a lot of these folks who are running for office, they put it all out there. It's bare bones for some of these folks. They've got a job and they're trying to run a campaign and trying to do things for their community at the same time. And so today I figured we'll have two very empowered ladies. Being a Caribbean sister myself, it so happened that one sitting right next to me, Dr. Amasida Maloon Gibson, is here. She's going to be talking on our second segment, and she's the CEO of Empowerment Doc. The Empowerment Doc, I try to call her. So hello and welcome to our show.
Well, thank you for having me, Sita. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm excited about being here and being part of this wonderful team with you and Ellen and
Ali.
Alex. You, Ellen, and Alex. Yes, I am so excited. And the topic we are going to talk about today is, and I know you always say that it's career tips for the new graduates to consider in making decisions. You know, a lot of these kids, they graduate, and then they really don't know what they want to do.
So we'll talk the second segment about guidance.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The first segment is with our friend Shan Rose. And Shan is running for office, district commissioner, District 5 commissioner in Orlando. And she also happens to be a Caribbean sister that is doing extremely well here in the United States and trying her best to uplift her community. She also has a nonprofit. And we're going to talk to her a little bit. She's taking the time to call in from Orlando and talk about her campaign and her vision for her community. And she believes that when one person thrives, everyone thrives. And it's about family and it's about business. So, Shan, you're on the phone. Thank you for taking the time to call in and speak to us a little bit about why you're running for office and a little bit about your nonprofit.
Good afternoon. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. So you decided to put your hat in the ring for District 5 commissioner, and it's a seat that you had tried to win before, I understand. You ran a few years ago as well.
That is correct. I did. But yeah, here's what I would say. I might not have been successful, but I continued fighting and working for the people, working with the people, bringing change in the community. And here I am today, the front runner in this election and working as hard as I can to bring the win home on June 18th.
Yes. And so there were seven people in the runoff and you made it to the top two.
I did. I did. I made it to the front. Here's what I'm going to say. When people ask me, because I think the biggest question is always, what made you be crazy enough to decide that you were going to run for office? My heart has been and it is and it has been serving the people, doing what's right for this district, doing what's right for this community. And, you know, I look forward to serving the people of District 5 as the next commissioner because I get the problems. I get you know, everyone's looking for an answer or a solution to what they're facing. You know, the kitchen table conversations, the kitchen table issues, many of them I've experienced, I've been through. 13 years ago, right here in this community, I lost my husband to gun violence. And so, you know, the safety of this community, how this community functions, ensuring that, you know, our streets are safe, ensuring that our kids are safe, and everyone within feels like they're okay, they can get up and they can have a peace of mind. That's what I want to bring. While I was at, I used to be at the City of Orlando. I used to work in the permitting office and I used to work in Community Redevelopment Agency. I am currently the Town of Eatonville's Community Redevelopment Agency Director. And so what, you know, the City of Orlando and the District 5 voters, residents, businesses have to look forward to with me as the next commissioner is someone who gets how government is supposed to function. Someone who gets how to bring solutions to the problems that our communities are facing. And, you know, I'm Shan Rose, and I look forward to serving and, you know, continuing our dialogue today.
So in your education, you went to the American Public University. You studied management, also accounting. You live in Orlando. When did you have that aha moment that you said, you know what, I can do better? Because you're pretty driven. You're a pretty driven lady by all the stuff you've done. What made you decide to run for office, not now, but before as well?
So for me, when I see a need, I jump in and I meet that need. So, you know, I ran the last time because, you know, everybody's not happy. People don't understand that District 5 is an extremely big district, right? So
yeah.
You've got the downtown nightclubs, you've got bars, you've got restaurants. So the district is extremely large. And so when I ran in 2021, there were people who felt like their voices weren't heard, right? They didn't feel like they had equal access to leadership. They didn't feel like their voices were being heard. So I thought, well, let me give it a try. Let me figure out, you know, how can I serve in my capacity? And what I ended up doing was doing more work in the community with my nonprofit. That's what I was able to do.
Yes. And you know, you talked a little bit earlier about kitchen table topics. You know, I feel like we have lost the essence of the kitchen step, the kitchen table, the stool, the people that have the experience and the knowledge, the grandmothers, the aunts, the cousins. Now, you have some Caribbean background, just like I do. And that was something that growing up, we drew on the strength of the people that came before us. In so many districts right now in Florida, we are watching the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of the foundation. Some people are born, they don't have a mother, a father. They're raised by grandparents. They need guidance and mentors and all that. You've been through all of that. Talk to us a little bit about how you plan to bring back the good old-fashioned kitchen table topics. Talk to one another, learn from one another, and then do what's good for yourself, your family, and your community.
So for me, my family's from St. Lucia. And one of the things that we are raised in the Caribbean community to do is to be resilient. It's to help each other. It's to be a community. It's to be a network. And so as the next commissioner, my goal is to do one thing, and that's bring the word unity back in community, right? The community is facing a lot of issues. There's a lot of hardships, and there's a lot of, you know, people feel like their voices aren't being heard. And what I want to bring is bring us together, you know, increase our neighborhood watch groups, do more community events where it's community family fun day with resources, right? We're not just coming to party. We're coming to party with a purpose. And so doing more of those, as a commission, one of the things I want to do is look at more consistent events and activities. For example, look at how do I have job fairs that are consistent, right? So maybe we have the second Tuesday of every month, or, you know, every other month. I want to do a lot more consistency, right? So that's what our house is. When we in Ireland, we have structure, we have consistency. So if it's at 6 o'clock, everybody must be inside, and it's dinner time, then that's what it was, right? And so
yes,
that's what I want to bring to the day is consistency, continuity, and some structure.
And transparency. And I know some of the things you have worked on, Shan Rose, is things like youth membership. You've gotten involved in homeless justice. You've gotten involved in community policing, negotiations, and you fight for equality for all Floridians, not just the people in District 5. What drives you to do what you do? Because you do so much in addition to taking care of your own family.
So for me, I live in a Paramore community. And so Paramore is a very different community, so to speak, right? And it's different in the aspect that there are people of all backgrounds, people of all races, who live in the community, the district, and we all want to have our voices heard. So for me, I run my nonprofit, I mentor youth and provide community resources, right? And so what that looks like is being a voice for the voiceless. And that's what I continue to do. I continue to see a problem, solve a problem. I continue to hear about a problem need, come up with solutions. Sometimes they're way out of the box solutions. So for me, I've experienced homelessness. So when we talk about how do you solve an issue, a lot of times people are like, I want to solve the issue because I think this is what's wrong with that group of people, or that's what's wrong with that group of people. When all actuality, people just want to be heard. People just want to say, here's my problem. How can you help me, rather than talking down to me? So, you know, the individual, for me, I've been proudly, and so for me, what I can say this campaign has done that sets a tone is I've been endorsed by the Greater Orlando Builders Association, some people call it, also known as GOBA, and I've been endorsed by the Orlando Regional Realtors Association. So what that means, and some people, and the acronym is ORA, what that means is coming in day one, I have the relationships, the connections, the organizations who are ready to work side by side with me to address one of our biggest issues right now in this region, and that's affordable housing, right? So a person could come and say, yeah, affordable housing is a top priority. Okay, but what are you going to do about it? Who's going to help you, right? What can you do? What I'm bringing is I've worked on the relationships. I've built the relationships. And so what I want to do is take the relationships, make this a better District 5 and City of Orlando, understanding that I also make the laws and the rules for the rest of the district, not just for the City of Orlando, not just for the District 5. Every ordinance, every policy that's changed and that's made, your commissioner does that, right? One commissioner from every district does that alongside the mayor. So I look forward to working alongside the other commissioners, working alongside the Mayor Dyer, and say, how do we make this a better District 5? How do we make this a better City of Orlando so everyone can live, work, and play here?
Yeah, and one of the things about you is you're very positive, and positivity, as we all know, brightens our future, our present. It gives us something to look forward to. And you've made positive changes in your community. You also just received a Lifetime Award. Tell us a little bit about that award that you just received for volunteering in your community.
So I received the Presidential Volunteer Award from President Joe Biden. I've also received the Game Changer Award from Orlando Magic. I've also received a Solar Bears Community Service Award. I mean, there's a bunch of them, right? And so
yeah.
For what that means, Channel 6 also gave me an award a couple years ago for getting results. Get it? And so what it shows is I'm doing the work, right? And so what I'm asking folks is to vote for me, not for someone who wants a title or a job. What I want to do is I want to work for this district. I want to work for this city to make this the best district possible.
Yeah. And you find your purpose in life with everything you're doing as well as running for office. We know that right now people are having a very difficult time with if they're going to vote, when they're going to vote, how they're going to vote. A lot of people are not making a plan. What is your plan to get those people who are sitting on the fence, the ones that say my vote doesn't count, the one that says, you know what, I'll talk about this later. Some people don't even know about the candidates that they're voting for. They would look at Instagram and TikTok and everything else, but they won't Google an article from one of the leading newspapers to read about the candidates to see why they're voting for someone. What is your plan to get people to check their registration cards, make sure their addresses match, their signatures match, those who want to vote by mail? We've got to have a plan. How do you get people to plan to vote? Because you do have a runoff election.
So I've been mailing, I've been emailing, I've been texting, I've been, more importantly, I have been knocking on doors. We have knocked on thousands of doors across this district, and we're talking to voters, we're meeting people where they're at, and we're having conversations and saying, hey, I don't just want your vote. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to know that me running is not just about, you know, Shan getting in office. This is about how do we build a better district from before I'm elected. And then once I'm elected, I can serve. You know, I've given full transparency and people can talk to me right now. My number is 407-255-7426. And so people go crazy when they actually call and I answer, right? And so that's what I'm going to bring to this seat is transparency, active communication, and someone who actually cares, who has empathy to address the needs of this community.
Yeah, because there are a lot of opportunities. It's just that people have to get educated on it. And I know that the former commissioner has done a lot to address the housing situation, the policing situation out there in Paramore. What are your top three issues right now in your campaign that you can see an immediate change that you could bring about in District 5?
So affordable housing is going to be a top priority. And so that includes not just rentership, but also home ownership. That's going to be a critical thing for me. Safety is also a priority. And for me, the last part, and I'm going to just be honest, is effective communication in the district to be able to increase our economics, to be able to reduce crime, to be able to hear where I can add more senior and youth programming. That's what it's going to take, right? Because without an effective communicator and without an active listener, everything we do is in vain. Anything I can get on here and say, this is what I plan to do or this is what I will do, it's in vain if I'm not hearing from the people.
Right. And you know, whenever there's crime, we have to look at the root causes of crime, right? So many of us, you know, we watch people, politicians who are already in office, people who are running for office, and they say, oh, I want to fix crime. Do you feel like one of the root causes of crime is the foundation for family, and how do we bring that back?
I would say yes, it is, right? But I think that that's going to be a larger conversation, which is why we need to communicate, right? Because if we're just saying, let's get the job done, right? Let's bring families back together. How do we bring families back together? What does it look like to bring families back together? So for me, it's going to be important to get people together to be able to address economic issues, to be able to address the needs of the community. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to work together. We're going to roll up our sleeves, and we're going to make this a better district.
Well, you know, and you hit on a good point, because in order for people to come together and bring unity, like you said, in community, people need a place to live. They need functioning roads. They need good schools. They need resources poured into their schools, no matter what the zip code is. Well, they need jobs. Jobs, the economic engine of the United States, right? People need to live in neighborhoods where they feel safe, that if they're out in the evenings, their children are safe walking home. So I think you hit the nail on the head in looking at those things and deciding to run for office and bring change to your community.
I don't know that it was a big deal, but when we opened up the Home Depot, and that's how long ago I was with Home Depot in the Paramore area, one of the things that I said is that we needed a project of going out and helping, because there were so many homes that needed just basic help. You know, like electrical and some plumbing stuff, paint, that kind of thing. So we went out in the community. So we would work 5 or 6 days getting the store open. And then on the 6th or 7th day, depending on what days that we had off, we would go out into the community and we would go, hey, do you want your trees trimmed? And we would use all the stuff from the store that like the companies would all donate. But those are like little things that certainly the economy, you know, when we talk about economy boost, businesses coming in and doing that kind of stuff. But hopefully businesses are still doing those things and their outreach for the community as well. Not just park in a zip code, not just park in a building in the middle of a community like that, but actually reaching out and see what we can do as educators, as business people, to figure out how to help people. And what we did was that we worked alongside with them. We said, let me show you how to fix this leak so you never have a problem again. Let me show you how to paint. Let me show you how to do all this stuff. And it was so well received. And there were blocks, you know, the areas of Paramore in that they actually, like, everybody spruced up their neighborhood. And it wasn't because they didn't want to. They didn't have the resources. They didn't know how to. So us going in there and doing those types of things, I applaud you. And what a great example you're providing for your son as well. So thank you so much.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Shan Rose, and she is the CEO of Change for the Community, Inc., and she's also a candidate in Orlando in District 5, and she's also a friend of mine. There's a special election coming up. So, Shan, tell us about the special election, the date, the time, and the early voting and all that stuff.
So early voting has officially begun today. People can, the voters in District 5, they can go to 119 West Cayley Avenue from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Saturday, 9 to 3. Sunday, it's 11 to 3. Election day is next Tuesday, June 18th. If people want to reach me, 407-255-7426, VOTE4SHAN.com is my website. And, you know, what District 5 and what the City of Orlando residents are going to get from me is transparency. And I would say accessibility, something that I think many have not seen in a while. And I look forward to serving. I thank you for having me on today.
Yes. Well, give us your website in case someone wants to donate or they want to volunteer in the campaign or help you knock on doors. And also, I know that all of us, when we ran for office, we had a 30-second elevator speech. Give us your 30-second elevator speech and your website, why someone should vote for you in the special election that's coming up soon.
My website is VOTE4SHAN.com. What you're going to get from me is someone who wants to create a District 5 where we can all live, work, and play together. And let's work together to address our needs, not just the needs that how I see the needs should be met, but I want to hear from the individuals, I want to hear from the residents, the business owners, how we can make this the best District 5.
Right. And your special election, correct me, is June 18th.
Yes, that's correct.
Right.
June 18th is the actual election day, and voting has already started. Early voting started today. It's from today until Sunday, and we're just going to go get the job done.
Well, you are a champion for the people based on all the stuff you have done before, all the issues you have addressed in your community, and I wish you well. But I also want to tell the people who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today that, you know, you've got to look at your voter's registration card, make sure everything matches. If you want vote by mail, I don't know if it's too late for that, but they need to find out where their voting places are, their precincts, and go and vote, because you can't complain if you don't vote.
That's right.
Our democracy depends on all of us voting.
So they can still vote by mail. They can just turn in their form.
Okay.
It's quick, though. It's like
they
it's coming up, though.
They can turn their form in order to vote. They still can.
Okay. Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. I know you're extremely busy. We appreciate it. And we'll stay tuned on June 18 to see how it went, but we will tell our friends and family that lives in that area to take a look at your website, take a look at all the things you've done, all the issues you've addressed in District 5, and give you a chance. I think you'll make a great commissioner.
That's right. And don't forget that most of us are members of the League of Women Voters, a great place to get more information about Shan Rose and her campaign and what's going on. Once again, you can donate to her campaign as well. Sita and I both know how important it is to make sure that you're supporting your candidates. So we're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends with Dr. Amasita Maloon Gibson.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web, www.1510wwbc.com. Hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your listening devices. Of course, it's a 50,000-watt station, so we are heard all over Brevard County, South Volusia County, East Orlando, and then just north of St. Lucie County as well. So hopefully everybody can tune in, even on FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7.
Right, and our second segment is with our good friend, Dr. Amasita Gibson, Maloon Gibson. And I like when she comes because we have so much in common that even though we don't see each other every single day and every single week and every single function, we can pick up where we left off <That's right. laughs> because we have the same name. And so for listeners who are tuning in today, Dr. Amasita, who calls herself Sita Maloon Gibson, is an executive consultant, speaker, and an author. She is also a certified mediator and a life coach. She established MGAA Professional Development to help others to develop strategies and help them to master their business and careers and life and relationships. And just everything in life about her is about helping others and mentoring others. Even if she doesn't know you, she'll come and mentor you. That's the kind of person that our friend is. Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, your mic. We just want your mic. You to be closer to your mic.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, you were too far away there, and I'm like, okay. You very daintily touched that mic. Yes.
Anyway, thank you, Sita and friends, for having me again. Today's topic, and just thank you for just being here in that introduction. I had the short version, but, you know, it's okay for you to do the long version.
Yes.
So today, the topic that I want for us to have a conversation about is career tips for the new graduates to consider in making decisions. And when I say to consider in making decisions, not specifically by themselves, get some guidance from your parents, but you should have these conversation with your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents, but just have a conversation with them and set some goals for those of you that are graduating. So I'm going to give you the five areas we're going to touch on and I'm discuss today, and then I will expound on them. The first area, if you're taking notes out there in La La Land, first area is setting goals. The second area will be practical self-awareness. The third area would be embrace lifelong learning. The fourth area would be cultivate positive habits. And the fifth area will be surround yourself with positivity. Okay, so here in the studio, I know they're going to chime in, but let me give you the foundation that I have for these five areas. When I say set goals, I want you to set a goal and identify the areas for improvements for your career, your relationship, your health, your professional and personal development. But don't just identify those areas. I want you to set SMART goals. And when I say SMART goals, I'm talking about specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound roles. You break them down into larger goals, and then you break them down into manageable goals. And create an action plan. If you don't have a plan, you don't have a vision, you don't have a purpose, you're just walking in wonderland. You know, you need to know where you're going in order to get there. And regularly track the progress and celebrate your successes. And when you track your progress, you can get a mentor. You can go to your old counselor at school. You can have one of your friends, or you can partner with another friend and be accountable with each other so that you stay on track. You don't get distracted. You don't get derailed. And then you get depressed because you can't accomplish or achieve what you need to do. I want to tell you, when you're setting goals, don't use Netflix and TikTok and use some YouTube, but don't use those as the basis of I'm going to get rich overnight. I'm going to tell you, it may or may not happen, but I would say 99% of the time, you're not going to get as rich as soon as those movie stars. And if you want to, because the big thing now, I spoke with a group of young people not too long ago, and they were asking me what I thought about these new injections to lose weight. These young ladies were a little plump. They were beautiful. And they asked me, what do I think about them getting shots? I said, well, who's going to pay for those shots? You just graduated.
There you go.
You know, that's the question you have to ask them. I tell them, instead of trying to find a way to get shots and take all these pills, just live a healthier lifestyle by eating. If they cut out everything that's white for 6 weeks, I guarantee you, they'll lose 10 pounds.
Yeah, that's a little difficult to do. Yeah. There goes my rice.
But
make it yellow.
You could eat it in moderation. But one thing you shouldn't eat all the time, and that's sugar. Anything with sugar. And I had to break down the other day. I went to, I'm not giving Wawa a shout out, but I went to Wawa and I had a mango pineapple smoothie, and it was so good. But by the time I finished it, I said, oh my gosh, it was all sugar.
Yeah, but I think the advice is great for the young ones. But, you know, I think coaching children, coaching students, coaching young adults starts as early as 3 and 4 years old. You have to plant that seed. You know, some of us would say we're putting $5 in your cash pan or your little piggy bank because you're going to college. Mm-hmm. And you plant the seed. But it's almost like here in the United States and around the world right now, because of the rat race of the parents, people have forgotten how to start these conversations.
Yes, and I like that you say that it has to, that's part of the socialization process from age 1 through 5. And my dad used to tell us, make a dollar, save a dime, and pay your 10%, which was, the dime in the islands, that cultural thing our parents have us to save, work hard and save. So, set goals and you'll be able to do that. And most of them will get part-time jobs at, fast food places. And when you get those jobs at fast food places, don't just go and buy a big pair of sneakers, get your nails done and weave and all of that. Take a portion of that money and save it, and you'll be able to do a whole lot of things. Practice self-awareness. You need to develop emotional intelligence by recognizing your emotions and your thoughts. Identify your values, beliefs, and strengths. A lot of kids, they base their values and beliefs on others' values and beliefs. You need to identify your own values and beliefs. And when I say that, and this is a Christian radio station, so I'm going to say, if you believe in whatever religion you believe in, you know, focus on that. I'm a Christian, so I believe in God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you believe in what you believe in and stick to it. Just be consistent with what you believe and not follow and gravitate to your friend's belief. If your friend said they're going to jump over a cliff, are you going to follow them? I saw somebody doing like a bungee jumping. That's not for me, Sita. You couldn't pay me enough to do that. So, you know, develop your own, practice self-awareness. Understand what your weaknesses and your strengths are. And I always tell people, don't say, well, this is my strength. I don't really need to do anything about it. You need to focus on your strength and then develop your weaknesses. And what is a weakness for you? You may have another friend that has strength in that area. So collaborate and communicate with them. Go to that counselor, that mentor, that coach, whomever you are going to have as a part of your plan. And practice mindfulness, meditation, or journaling to increase self-awareness. Now, what I tell folks to do, if you journal every day, if it's just on a scratch on a piece of paper, if you don't have a journal, you could buy a dollar pad or a dollar black and white book or $1.25 now from the dollar store and write your thoughts down. I remember doing that myself, and that's how I start writing and collaborating with different authors, and it became a five-time best-selling author on Amazon, and I have gotten several literary awards from Blacks in Government is one of them.
Was in the military, which we forgot to say that.
Yes, I was in the military.
Yes, a lieutenant.
Retired after 29 years, yes.
So one of the great things about you is, Dr. Amasita Gibson, is that you are a lifelong learner. You believe in giving back. And I think all of us at this point in our life, we want to leave a good footprint behind for the next generation.
Yes.
And I'll have Ali jump in here really quick. Ali, you've also many times expressed great advice for the next generation and the grandchildren.
Yeah, the one thing that pops in my head of the thing I would tell my sons, who are now 47 and 50, but they're, when they were growing up, it was like, okay, you've made this decision, then what? It's always, you know, I got them to think next step before they take the first step. Mm-hmm. It's always, then what? Well, I decided not to go to English class anymore because I didn't like it. Well, what happened? Oh, I had to take it again in summer school. So I said, you're taking something twice because you hated it so much? Stop and think, then what?
Because you could be wasting time and money and effort.
Right.
So you're meeting a lot of young people, and what is the feedback you're getting when you tell them about the goals and approaches and the stuff that you're talking to them about?
Well, one of the things that we talk about, myself being a lifelong learner and learning, that what they have to do, I tell them, reading is fundamental. I have spoke with and mentored 12 grade level seniors that's reading like a fifth grade level. So I tell them to read books, read articles, read blogs, things that's interesting to you. Well, I'm not going to call this young lady out, you know, because this young lady's close to me. I couldn't get this person to read a book when they were in the third or fourth grade. But then there were some books that didn't have the languages that some parents will not let the kids read, right? And that helped that person to understand, because back in the day, at that time, they were reading, I can't remember, it's not Nancy Drew, it's another author that had all these...
Judy Blume?
No, but anyway, there were short stories about love and romance and all these different
Mills
things.
Mills and Boones?
No, not that one. Yeah.
Sorry, well, we're not going to guess.
That's
the
way
books.
Back.
Well, anyway,
the bottom line, they need to read more and read books. And I hate that they're talking about taking some of the really books that have a lot of our historical perspective in it and taking them out of the libraries and the schools. You know, I have an extensive library at home. So I'm donating a whole lot of my books to different libraries, so that they will have those books available. You know, they don't have to pay for them. They can go in there and they can check out whatever book they want. Now, for those that are building, trying to build a career and move into another direction, they could take online courses. We have a lot of kids that are very smart. They could teach what the teachers are teaching them. With AI, this artificial intelligence is going to blow everybody's job away.
There's a plug for AI.
Yeah. No, they're going to blow everybody's job away. So you could take online courses and workshops and develop new skills. You don't really have, I don't want to say you don't have to go to college, but college is not for everyone. You may want to go to a trade school. My two kids, they were dual enrolled in school. So by the time they graduate from high school, they already had associate degrees, you know. So the bottom line is we're talking about students with, they go to college, they do well, and then when they come out, they can't get a job to pay the $80,000, $90,000 student loans. So my thing is find your niche. Find something that you can do or that you're doing now and just
that you have a passion for.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, you could, back home in the islands, I think parents knew their children better than anybody else, and they can tell which child was academically inclined to go to college or higher education. Mm-hmm. They knew which child could become a plumber, which child could become an electrician, which child could become a painter, which child can work on the road. Mm-hmm. And what they did, they would then go and speak with the folks who ran trade shops and had businesses such as those and say to them,
volunteer.
Would you have my child as an intern to watch how you paint, learn how you weld? And you know what? 9 times out of 10, they would take your family member in. All you had to do was get them a ride to and from and give them a little brown bag with a piece of roti and some food in there. And that's it.
You're too funny.
And a few months later, this person is learning a trade.
Right.
But I think, again, that comes back to the conversation we were having before, that if you don't have people in your life to mentor you, and like like Colin Powell said once years ago, what people are lacking today is guidance. If you don't have the guidance, how would you make it to the trade school, right?
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about some. Do you get any pushbacks from the kids when you speak to them, the young adults who are graduating? Because a lot of them, like you say, want to become a TikTok sensation.
Yes. And, you know, we have a lot of innovative kids that are that have graduated or graduating now. And the kickback that I get is that well, nobody wants to listen to our generation. In the workplace now, in homes now, we have 4 to 5 generations in there. And some of, and maybe they are the first time, maybe they are the first time graduates in their, first time graduates in their home. They have the great grandmother, they got a grandmother, they got mom. They got the sister that may have had a baby. So you have about 5 generation. And we have to understand these millennials. The millennials are smarter than we are. They're bored easily. And
some people think that they're too weak. No. I mean, our generation, we can multitask.
Yes.
What is wrong with this generation today? I mean, you give them one task and they fall apart.
Well, that's some. I would say some of them fall apart. And that's our, you know, I'm in the baby boomer generation, you know. So the baby boomers like me, we may not have had everything. When I grew up, I was, we wasn't poor, but we had a maid, you know. And my dad was a policeman. My mom, she worked at the hospital as a dietitian. You know, and she trained all the dietitians that came through the hospital in St. Thomas. And the bottom line is we wanted to give more to our kids than our parents gave us. But when I look back, my parents gave us a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, he went to the sixth grade. And in sixth grade, he had a vocabulary that was out of this world. I couldn't really understand some of the words that he said. As a graduate, as a high school senior. And he would tell me, you know, different things, and I wrote that in the book, Stepping Stones to Success, things that they have to do, volunteering, giving back. We used to make runs to the seniors, you know, respect your seniors, you know, go in the community. And he made us volunteer. I was a Girl Scout, you know, we volunteered Girl Scout, and you don't get paid, even if people want to pay you for it. So I tell folks, I tell those kids, these millennials, learn another language. You know, we always complain that, oh, yeah, these people need to speak English. Who are these people?
Yep.
And they speak English, Patois, French, Spanish, and pick up extra skill, like hobbies like cooking.
But,
and
the things that you're
that like to dance.
The things that you're saying, though, are using another part of your brain.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're learning a new language, it's like learning, even if you learn music as a new language.
Right.
So all of these things open up, and I think adults now, when you see a young adult that is, you know, maybe struggling a little bit, trying to figure out what it is that they want to do, you know, me as a 50-year-old, I don't know what the availability is going to be in the next 20 years of what the jobs are going to be. So encouraging people like what you're saying to be a lifelong learner. So if they did want to be the TikTok sensation, or if they did want, okay, well, investigate what it's going to take to be that. And let me see your plan for being that. It's okay to say that you want to be a rocket scientist or a supermodel, but tell me what your plan's going to be. Who are you going to expose yourself to? Not obviously, you know, but right. who are you going to be around?
Well, you know what
so
it is.
That, that way, that those five people that you meet, the five people that surround you, are usually the people that
are in the islands. They should show me your friends, and I'll tell you who you are. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But here's the thing, Doctor. Said. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Amasida Maloon Gibson. Dr. Amasida is speaking to us today about the next generation and her passion as a servant leader to bring unity for our next generation and to get the churches and all other organizations and institutes of higher learning involved so we could make a better future for our children, our graduating seniors, the millenniums out there. The people that are kind of lost right now, if you ask me. But here's the thing. The focus should be, I think, with these millenniums, like we like to call them, on respect, dignity, compassion, loyalty, ethics, hard work, love of country, democracy. We are living in a time where, whether people like it or not, certain politicians and certain political parties are so focused on the culture wars that they have forgotten what it is to actually be in a democracy and economy. How do we get our young people to start recognizing that, hey, you may want to do all these things, but just got to start focusing on what you have at hand. And what you have is a great nation that needs people who are respectable and kind and compassionate and agree to disagree respectfully.
And that gets me to my next point, cultivate positive habits. It takes 21 days to form a new habit, right? So they need to, if they want to do something and be and make an impact in the world, they need to change their behaviors. They need to, whether it's positive or negative, it takes 21 days to change it. So what I recommend that they do is every time you take a baby step up, celebrate. You know, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. You have to pat yourself on the back and tune out the negativity that a lot of them used to get a lot. A lot of the graduates that I work with, mentor, coach, or teach, they get a lot of negative feedback from people that's in their circle. And I tell them when they start getting that negative feedback, just remember this. That means you're doing something right and you're moving up into on another level. So you need to change your surrounding and surround yourself with people that are positive.
So what you're saying is when a millennium asks you to question why, instead of reprimanding, communicate.
Communicate.
Yes.
You have to communicate with them.
Because they do ask why.
Yeah. Why do I have to do this? Why? Why? Well, you have to do it because it's the right thing to do. And I always tell them, you know, Dr. King always say, the time to do the right thing is right now. You know, every time to do the right thing is right now, not later, you know. And they have to make that call. That's part of the value base. You have to make that call to do the right thing or the easier route.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, we grew up in a generation where if you had a job, You looked at the job, you looked at wages, you looked at benefits. Some people had a family, a man had a family, he had to pay mortgage, lights, water, telephone, raise his kids, whatever. This generation is all about, not all, but me. Yeah, it's a very selfish way to live, because when our generation is gone, what's going to be left on planet Earth?
We're not going to be.
How do we bring back that compassion for others and empathy?
It starts at home. You know, it's whatever the parents or the extended family, I like to call it, because I'm like part of a lot of extended families. It all begins with the mentors. It all begins with the extended family. Sowing that seed of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You can give people wisdom, but, you know, they have to understand what you say to them, because if they don't understand, they're not going to move up. And the thing of it is, they have to stay around positivity.
And you're a woman of faith. Before we go, we have 2 minutes left. Talk to us about the importance of the foundation. Nobody's saying you have to go to church every Sunday and temple and synagogue and mosque, but talk to our listeners a little bit with the last remaining two minutes about the importance of the foundation of the family and tie that into faith.
Okay, yeah, I know you want those five F's, right?
Well, I don't know. We can't even do that today.
Yeah. Anyway, the foundation has to be your faith and your family. You know, for me, faith and family are two of the top priorities for me. If you can't keep your faith, meaning the rock, you know, Christ is the rock, the cornerstone, the building, and then everything else surrounds around it. When you build a home, in fact, we just had this at a seminar I went to. When you build in a house, you have to have a strong foundation. If you don't have a strong foundation, it's going to crumble. And not saying that everybody that didn't grow up with two parents in their home are not going to succeed, because, you know, we had tons and tons of stories of those individuals that succeed. And I like to say, so get a support of network that are positive and encouraging people. Eliminate toxicity from your relationships. If you have relationships that, you know, it's just always toxic talk or negative, even in a lot of the organizations, I just move those off my plate.
Me too. I weed them out.
You don't go to meetings that they're talking the same old.
No, what you want people to bring
anything.
Purpose.
Yeah, bring a
purpose into
bring
focus.
Bring results.
Into focus.
Be results driven, you know, bring the results.
It's like a lot of these places you attend, all these nonprofits in town, and it's always about money. How to buy a ticket, it shouldn't be. It should be about what is your purpose. Why are we here today? To help who and why? Where did we fall short with these people that we have to have a nonprofit to help them to buy a house, build a house, read a book, go to the library. And you know what you said earlier too, a lot of people who are making all these noises about the books and democracy and all this, half of them not registered to vote, not voting, don't have a plan. And a lot of them don't even enter a public library to read a book.
They don't have a library card. But last, I'm going to just say, because I know our time is running out, everybody that's listening to me now, I don't care who you are, please register to vote. I don't care who you vote for, but if you don't vote, don't complain to me about who gets in office. And Cedar and Ellen, I thank you all Allie, I thank you all for having me. And I hope to come back again soon one day.
Well, you know what it is? It's wonderful to have a community-based radio show where we can speak and have a platform for just about anything on God's magnificent planet. And I think people who know us know that we strive on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends to leave a good footprint behind.
Right.
Whether it's to teach somebody about financial literacy or reading a book or voting or checking your voter's registration card, holding a job with benefits, encouraging families through unity, through their religion, to stick together. Not everybody have a mom and dad, but it's our role to be that guiding light, that mentors for everyone.
And no more excuses. That's what I tell folks.
And your website. Give us your website really quick before he cuts us off air.
www.empowermentdoc.com, or just Google my name, Amicita Maloon Gibson, LinkedIn.
YouTube. All kinds of stuff. Facebook.
Yes, and what are those two words again? No what? No more.
No more excuses. Just get out there and take action.
Well, another great edition of Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends here on 1510 WWBC. Make sure to tune in each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All of this stuff will be posted in 24 hours, so make sure you check it out. We'll see you next week.